It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a Milwaukee photographer took lots of pictures at Woodstock 50 years ago. Our guest tells us about the images that have been locked away for decades. First, that festival began 50 years ago today, and over the course of 4 days, more than 400,000 people showed up at a large dairy farm in New York State. The festival celebrated peace and love through music, art, and a fair amount of mind-altering substances. Woodstock organizers were overwhelmed by the turnout, and a lot of their original plans changed along the way. That means that some of the details of the event have been lost or unclear. But maybe the world of archaeology can help sort things out. Maria O'Donovan is a senior project director at the Public Archaeology Facility at Binghamton University. Her research focuses on urbanization and industrialization in the 19th century United States. She's been working on an archaeological project at the Woodstock site. Maria, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me. This is really a great opportunity to talk to your listeners.
Yeah, and I think for our listeners, they might hear archaeology and think of a Roman ruin or a Middle Eastern site or maybe Native Americans from thousands of years ago here in Wisconsin. What leads an archaeologist to do some research at Woodstock?
Right. Well, actually, what led us to do this particular research was a request from the Bethel Woods Center Museum at Bethel Woods, which is at the Woodstock site. They were getting ready for the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, which begins today, and thought archaeology could help them to interpret and to restore some of the Woodstock facilities. So that was what led us to do archaeology here.
50 years after, how do you get started as an archaeologist trying to figure out what you're tackling, what you're trying to find out on this site?
Well, basically, we thought about what methods would be good to use. So, for instance, in the Bindi Bazaar, which was the sort of trading center for the Woodstock concert in 1969, what we needed to find out, what our research goals were, was to locate the vendor booths or what was left of the vendor booths from the 1969 concert. In order to do that, we thought about what methods we could use and also what methods we could use to map them in because we were trying to record them so that Bethel Woods would have a permanent record of where they were.
And I understand you found that while the planners of Woodstock had a neat, orderly plan for how the bazaar would be shaped, that's not necessarily what happened in reality. What did you find?
Well, I mean, they did have plans. Maybe neat and orderly is going a little bit far. But they did have plans for where things would be located. What we found is the actual vendor booths where we actually were able to record them and where they're actually located in reality were not placed according to plan. They concentrated on one side of the hill and were not distributed the way that it was indicated on the sort of pre-planning plan for Woodstock.
I understand also that Woodstock has changed some. Plants grow, trees grow over the course of 50 years. What are some of the challenges in looking at what the site looks like today and backtracking 50 years?
Sure. Well, you know, the Bindi Bazaar area hasn't changed that much. It's still a wooded hillside. What has changed is that vegetation has grown up and you have to figure out how to deal with that and get rid of it. And to try to figure out how to deal with what vegetation is there in terms of finding things on the surface. The more massive changes had occurred in the main stage area, the main concert area, where there have been concerts after Woodstock, after the 69 Woodstock. There were other concerts in that area, and they had actually graded and filled some of this area. And that's actually pretty visible on the surface. You can see the indications. They're not right. The landscape is not right. It doesn't go in a natural formation.
What kind of level of detail do you have for people maybe visiting the site if they're hoping to see the spot where Jimi Hendrix played the national anthem, say, can we be that accurate and know, yeah, this is where that stage was?
Well, you know, you could be accurate enough for that, I think. Right now, the main concert area is in grass. And also has a few art installations on it. And you can pretty much tell where the basin where the main stage area was still.
What kind of things are going on there now, in part using your research to mark this site, to honor the history for visitors to the site?
Well, one of the things that happened this May was that Bethel Woods opened a segment of the trail system that they want to restore through the Bindi Bazaar. The Bindi Bazaar trail system went all through that hillside connecting, say, the main concert area and places like the Hog Farm through the Bindi Bazaar. So they're trying to restore this trail system, and Bethel Woods is trying to come up with an interpretive program for people walking along these trails. So they just opened a portion of that this May, early this May. And so our work helped facilitate that in that we came in, mapped the positions of the vendors booths, and gave them some more information on vendor booths for their interpretive program, and also more information on the potential location of the trails from 69.
Talking to Maria O'Donovan from Binghamton University. She's an archaeologist. We're talking about her work on the site of Woodstock, now on the 50th anniversary. Maria, I understand you work more, your day job is more focused on the 19th century. Does working on a site where we have more recent documents, maybe some oral history, and trying to figure it out here, does that give you insight on how to reconstruct the lives of people and activities of people a little further back?
We do have documents in the 19th century, and we always sort of compare, because archaeology is about material culture, we are always comparing the reality of what we find in the field materially with what people say they do. Because what people say they do and what people actually do are two very different things, generally, or often. And so that's the case, whether it's the 19th century or Roman times or 1969. So oral history does help a bit, but, you know, people don't necessarily have very accurate memories, particularly when they're involved in a concert experience that, say, involves some active use of substances.
Memory might be altered in some ways from the original reality, it sounds like, yeah.
Might be, yes, yeah.
Now, are there still mysteries or things you're hoping to figure out about the Woodstock site?
Well, I think there's certainly a lot of potential for research at the Woodstock site. You know, much of this will depend on what Bethel Woods has in mind in terms of their interpretive and preservation program, because right now they are the facility responsible for preserving the site. Woodstock was placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 2017. So much of it depends on their plans. But things like the Hog Farm, other camping areas where people were actually living for those 3 days, certainly has a great deal of potential to sort of talk about other aspects of the site.
Are there other places that you think would be good candidates for this kind of contemporary archaeology treatment?
Sure. Archaeologists have actually, within the last couple of decades, started doing their work or researching contemporary contexts. And it's actually one of the main growth areas in archaeology today. Is contemporary archaeology, applying the methods and perspective of archaeology on material culture to contemporary sites. So places like trash dumps, shall we say immigration or refugee camps, things of that nature, tackling contemporary issues on the environment, trash, immigration, and migration issues. Yes, there's certainly a lot of potential.
Speaking of trash and coming back to Woodstock, I understand archaeologists love trash. It often leaves a lot of clues about what we do. What kind of material remains do you find, trash or treasure, or a little bit of both, I guess, at the Woodstock site?
Well, you know, in the Bindi Bazaar, we did not do any excavations. We didn't do anything subsurface. We did not dig. We were primarily looking for surface indications of the vendor booths. In the main concert area, we did do some excavations. We actually found it was fairly clean. A few things potentially could have been from 69, but, you know, trying to date something to 3 days is almost impossible.
guitar pick could have been from Woodstock. It could have been from one of those other concerts you mentioned.
Could have been from one of those other concerts. I mean, the area was continued to be used as open pasture after Woodstock. So, yes.
All right. And do you feel connected, maybe more connected to Woodstock and the music history there than you did before this project?
I believe so. I think our experience with Bethel Woods was very good. And, they're excellent people to work with and excellent people as stewards of this site. And I think they have a really strong message about how the aspects of the counterculture from the 1960s are still relevant today. And I think I've thought more about that since doing this research. Yes.
Maria, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Maria O'Donovan is Senior Project Director at the Public Archaeology Facility at Binghamton University and has been heading up a team that's doing archaeological research at the site of the Woodstock Music Festival in New York State.